Ask almost anyone who grew up with a TV which Twilight Zone they remember most vividly, and you're sure to get some interesting answers. Whether it was the one about visiting aliens who longed to make us dinner, or the one about the plastic surgery patient whose doctors are the ones who need the work, the unique vision of the show's creator, the late Rod Serling, will live on forever. October 2nd marks the 50th anniversary of the broadcast of the very first Twilight Zone episode. Mark Andrews took some time to visit with Tucson resident Robert Serling for some of his recollections.
Bob Serling is Rod Serling's older brother. At 91 years old, he was born 7 years before Rod, but he's outlived him by almost 25 years. Bob lives in a modest house on Tucson's north side. It's filled with memorabilia and relics from his days as aviation editor for United Press International. He welcomed me into his home recently to talk about his brother and the enduring legacy of the Twilight Zone.
We didn't really connect with each other until after the war. He went in for drama, and I went in for news.
Robert and Rodman Serling grew up in Binghamton, New York, in a simple world filled with King Kong movies and summer baseball.
But we did get a lot closer after the war because it had a great effect on both of us. A lot of his Twilight Zone and other stories that he wrote came from his war experiences.
Rod Serling put the war behind him by going to college and writing television scripts. By the mid-1950s, he was writing for CBS. Dozens of his scripts were adapted into primetime TV programs. Serling's success eventually led him to create a new weekly show he called The Twilight Zone. On October 2, 1959, CBS aired the first episode of the new series. It was an almost immediate success. Bob Serling remembers the odds the show overcame and the influence it had.
First, it was an anthology with no set star, no familiar faces week after week. The only familiar faces was my brother. That's where his genius was, the writing. I had to admire the way he tackled current issues, controversial issues, race relations, for example. And he hid the sermons under the guise of science fiction. Gene Roddenberry credited Rod with originating Star Trek, because Star Trek was the same thing. It masqueraded sermons on issues of the day under the guise of science fiction, so you didn't really know you were being preached at. Roddenberry delivered the eulogy for my brother after he died.
I asked Bob Serling where he thought his brother came up with the idea for the Twilight Zone.
Rod told me once that Twilight Zone originated from insomnia. He'd lie awake at night, and he'd think up these plots. And the idea for Twilight Zone came from that. A lot of people, including Rod himself, can't remember where the phrase Twilight Zone began. Rod told me once that he thought it referred to the twilight sleep that women go through before childbirth. Now, of course, it's in dictionaries.
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
He dictated everything. And I asked him once, why don't you write this down? He said, I don't want to write it. He says, I got to hear it. The actors have to speak it. That's why I dictate into a dictaphone. And I remember he used to go out to his little office early in the morning when his mind was fresh. And he'd sit there, and I wish we could have recorded some of them because he was acting out the entire Twilight Zone. So he knew an actor is going to have problems with that line. It just doesn't fit. And that's why he loved to dictate the whole script.
Bob Serling says the beauty of The Twilight Zone was that the viewer could put themselves into the scripts. He says that even before the show, most of Rod Serling's television scripts centered around the idea of putting ordinary people into extraordinary situations. The Serling brothers collaborated only once on a script for The Twilight Zone episode, The Odyssey of Flight 33, which aired in 1961. Bob says he watched his brother get the idea for the episode from a simple airline brochure. Rod asked Bob what he thought of the idea of an airliner flying from London to New York, suddenly traveling back in time.
He said, "What do you think of that idea?" I said, "You're nuts. It's a great idea." He said, "Yeah, but it's going to be a Twilight Zone." I go back to Washington. I was aviation editor of UPI, United Press International at the time. And I get a call from him. "Bob, do you remember that idea I had for a jet that goes back in time?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I need the cockpit dialogue." I said, "You need the what?" He says, "I need the cockpit dialogue. It's a Twilight Zone."
"Idlewild, this is Global 33. Idlewild, do you read us?" "There's no soap. Can't raise anyone."
And it turned out to be one of the most successful episodes at all. And it was a terrific episode, one of the best. That was the only connection I ever had with Twilight Zone, except I was a fan, too. We were rank sentimentalists and rank romanticists, both of us.
Today, the original Twilight Zone series is an enduring pop culture phenomenon. The 50th anniversary of the show's debut is coming up, and the Rod Serling Memorial Foundation in Binghamton has events planned to commemorate it. And for millions of fans, the show will continue to be seen and be talked about. It will still reach into our ordinary lives to confront us with extraordinary events. From The Twilight Zone, I'm Mark Andrews for Arizona Spotlight.
For the record, the Twilight Zone that really got me was the one about the ventriloquist.